Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the one, the only, your favorite podcast all about superheroes and comic books, The Other Identity. I am, of course, one of your hosts, the great Landis, Robbie Landis, and along with me, as always, my stalwart co-host, Professor Awesome, Ben. How's it going?
Should we say welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls? Because I do feel like we're an all-ages appropriate podcast.
We are. So boys and girls and everyone of all ages.
Yeah.
Just everything, this everywhere.
Welcome. Listen, Other Identity is fun for the whole family. This is something you can sit down around the fire, you know, but it's wholesome, good entertainment that you can just like listen to. It'll help you bond with your kids, mm-hmm. with your parents. We are bringing people together every week here on Other Identity.
I would love to have a family sit down and try to listen to this together and just know how that ended up playing out.
I often tell the story in my podcasting class that when my wife and I first discovered Serial, not the
I was like, wait a second. Yeah.
No, the podcast Serial, okay. The very well-known podcast, we were so into it that we would sit around on the couch literally just listening to it on the speaker. And I was just like, this is how people did things way, way back when. I was like, before there was TV, before there was even screens, you would just sit there and listen to audio. And it was so weird, but it was so refreshing for some odd reason. So I would love if someone's doing that with our podcast. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I would love
it. Well, speaking of TV, the most recent episode of WandaVision continues to up the stakes. We have three episodes left. It has been confirmed by Feige that they will be an hour long each, which is nice.
Oh, okay.
Super excited about that.
That is exciting. That's gonna be good news for me, who every week says, "What? It's only a half hour?"
I was expecting
like the early sitcom-y episodes to be a half hour, mm-hmm. and then it would gradually expand. But man, I want more of this show. But you know what the thing is, Robbie? I'm actually glad that there's only three episodes left, because I feel like this is obviously, even though it's a great show and everything about it is top notch, I feel like it would be hard to sustain for too long. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like a limited series in comics.
Oh, yeah.
Like it feels like there's a beginning, a middle, and an end, I'm assuming. And if they want to come back for a season two, they could do something completely different. But I think it's peaking at just the right time. And I noticed that I saw a news story yesterday that it is considered, and I don't know what the metrics are based on streaming and stuff like that, but right now, WandaVision is, by some measure, the top show on television. Like, more people are watching the show than anything else on TV right now.
That does not surprise me. And actually, coming up here in a little while, we'll be talking about another Disney Plus series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I saw, yeah. Again, no idea what the metrics are, but apparently Falcon and the Winter Soldier is more anticipated than The Mandalorian is, which is also,
I think,
a very, very high bar to set there. But let's talk a little bit about our reacts for this past episode. There's a lot of stuff to potentially go over. For me, I don't know that we're ever going to get these answers or not from the show. Maybe if I get interviewed somewhere, we'll. but I feel like all of the questions or all of the answers that we thought we had, this episode continues to poke holes into, because based on, Wanda's conversation with, spoilers, by the way, guys, if it wasn't already obvious, we're going to be talking about the episode, so turn it off. If you haven't watched it yet, go do so. Come back. With Wanda's conversation with Pietro, that is her Pietro, despite looking different. He has all the memories of him, which...
Yeah, he definitely references Age of Ultron and his own death.
So it's not because childhood memories. But I find it weird that... And she also saw corpse version of him, just like she did Vision. Why does Pietro have his memories from before his death, but Vision doesn't have his?
It's a great question, and I wonder how much of that has to... What's really interesting to me here is I think Wanda is definitely causing everything that's going on. But I do believe that this is something we've seen in the comics as well, where she may have made the first moves. Maybe she just brought Vision back or something like mm-hmm. that. And I think this is clearly spiraled out beyond her control. And I do buy into the theory that there is a third party that is, yes, that is taking advantage. And I do think that's where I think with Vision, she made a conscious choice to bring him back and didn't give him his memories because she didn't want to. I feel like Pietro, whether it's her subconscious brought him back because she needs him or whether she's being manipulated, I do think that she's not fully in control. She didn't expect Pietro to come back.
Right. True.
This is not, and that's why things are going all kind of wonky. I don't know why it's the Evan Peters face, but the Aaron Tyler Johnston memories.
See, that's the other question I have. Is that something, and again, I think it's something that Feige might tell us after the fact. Is this something that was planned out? Like, no, we want the Fox one to make like a cool little thing. Or was this, hey, you know what? Aaron Taylor Johnson wasn't available, so what else can we do? You know,
I think it was deliberate. Yeah. I think it was deliberate, but I don't know that we will get the full spooled out explanation on the show. I think you're right. I think we might have to look to interviews afterwards or maybe even stuff down the line. But I will say this. I think Evan Peters is suited for this particular show in a way that, not to bag on Aaron Tyler Johnson, but like he was made for this. Like he's the type of actor who can really sink his teeth into like a kind of half comedy, but make it really creepy mm-hmm. type role. So for whatever reason he's there, I'm glad he's there because he is killing it. His chemistry with Elizabeth Olsen is right on. And I'm glad that we're getting Evan Peters as Quicksilver, and that's no disrespect to Aaron Tyler Johnson. I just think this really works. And I keep saying Quicksilver, even though they're not calling him
right.
Quicksilver yep. yet.
And then the other thing that I wanted to mention too, which you brought up, is obviously the rules within the Hex don't have to be concrete across everything. They can vary, you know, from instance to instance. Because something else that I saw people bringing up in some of the fan groups I'm part of is when Monica went out of the Hex, her clothes stayed the same. But right. when Vision tried to leave the Hex, he started to die again. So obviously the rules are fluid here in some way. In the same that we see with some of the denizens of Westview, how some of them are completely and utterly 100% under the control of Wanda and don't know mm-hmm. any better. Whereas some people like Herb and Agnes seem to – maybe they've been given a little bit of their free will because they're more willing to go along with it. Who knows right. exactly why? It's more questions than answers as usual.
Yeah. And I just think that I think I'm sticking to – just to double down, my theory is that Wanda was in control of this at some point. She created the Hex, I think – meaningfully. That's why when we saw her step outside the Hex, she wasn't, you know, like, what's going on? She created this, but I think at some point she lost control. And that echoes a lot of stories from the comics, whether you're talking Avengers Disassembled or House of M. They always start with Wanda, but then it spirals out of control. And I'm just very interested to see who is pulling the strings, because I do think we get at least one more big character out of this, mm-hmm. whether it's a villain, whether I know a lot
I
of people
really hope we get a Doctor Strange cameo.
That'd be cool. I do see a lot of people speculating that Monica's contact is going to be Reed Richards,
I've seen that as
which
well.
I don't know the logic of that other than people just want to see it. I think I wouldn't hold your breath on that. But I think we're due for at least two more big reveals. I think we're due for who is Monica's contact. I think that's going to be someone of note. And then who is pulling the strings on Wanda. I think we're going to see that as well. And then if we got Doctor Strange, that would be maybe even a third big reveal. So still a lot to go with three episodes remaining.
That's right. And if you have doubted the effects that WandaVision has had on the masses when it comes to looking at these characters and comparing them to other couples in the universe, and outside of the Marvel Universe as well, we've had a bracket challenge going now for a few weeks over at CheckpointXP.com. You can also find a link to it pinned over at the Checkpoint XP Twitter account. But we wanted to know who was the best couple in comics. And we're about to come up here on who the winner is going to be just in time for Valentine's Day, or just after Valentine's Day, rather. And on the DC side, Superman and Lois Lane have made it all the way. They beat Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn, which I saw coming. Look, personally, I think that I like Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn more, but they're also still a very young couple, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of lore and like majesty and mythology behind Superman and Lois that I think Harley and Ivy can't really touch. So I think I like Harley and Ivy as well, but just the traditionalist in me, I like the longevity of Superman and Lois. But again, no disrespect to Harley and Ivy. I think they're a great couple.
But the real upset, beating out the thruple of Cyclops, Jean Grey, and Wolverine, and then
beating
Peter Parker and Mary Jane, Scarlet Witch and the Vision.
Oh boy!
What?
What a Cinderella story for WandaVision. Wow, yeah, I think we're seeing the power of WandaVision and how much people love the show right now. If they win this whole tournament, that's insane. Like, come on, guys. Scarlet Witch and Vision are fantastic. They're a great couple, but really, the greatest couple in the history of comics? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? I think we even put them on the list just because this whole thing was kind of a WandaVision tie-in to begin with. I could not have expected this to happen. You know what, though? That's going to be interesting because Superman and Lois are really, when you think of comic book couples, I would argue the first one that comes to mind is Superman and Lois.
Yeah, to the point where people who aren't even into comics, you know
who they
will still potentially call like their significant other, you know, my Superman, right? So like it's a staple of like pop culture. It's crazy.
Exactly. So it's going to be a real test to see if WandaVision has built up enough momentum to overtake that.
That's right. And you can actually go and vote on that up until 5 p.m. Tuesday the 16th. So depending on when you download this episode, you may have a chance to go and sway some of the outcomes. Again, that's at checkpointxp.com, or you can find it pinned to the top of our Twitter over at checkpointxp. XP. So anyway, coming up here next, it's time to talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The big game dropped a trailer for us, and a lot of people are very, very hyped. So stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, we know that there's a ton of video game podcasts out there, but I guarantee you, you've never heard one like this one. Checkpoint Daily is one of the only podcasts for esports and gaming coming out every single day.
One of the only ones worth listening to, anyway.
That's absolutely true. So whether we're talking about the latest developments with who Nintendo decides to sue or the LCS, we've got the lowdown. So make sure you check us out at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Just your friendly reminder, which my producer and everyone's favorite head of content, Callie, has reminded me before to put at the very top of the show, but I always forget to do.
Oh, geez.
Subscribe to the podcast. I mean, obviously, if you're listening, you are subscribed to the podcast. Sorry. But what I need you to do is go and maybe drop a review. I still don't think we've gotten more than just the one review from Hupster. And it breaks my heart every single time because I want to read a review right here on the show. I want to give you who's listening to this, I want to give you a chance to be a part of the show. But you're not taking it. And I don't understand why.
I just hope you didn't get us in trouble with Callie. Because I feel like I have done nothing wrong, and I don't feel that I should be held responsible for your missteps.
Ben,
but we're a team. We're a team.
In the
we go down together.
Yes, in the same way that a rising tide lifts all ships, a sinking ship takes everyone down.
A tidal wave knocks us all out, and the tidal wave is your failure to read that.
You know, you could have also just butted in and been like, hey, by the way, Robbie.
You're right.
You could have.
You're right.
All right.
You're right.
So
you're
Falcon
right.
and the Winter Soldier trailer has officially dropped in. Oh my, I am ready. Like, it is. Look, we'll talk about it in the next segment of the show. The difference between, obviously, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision, which we knew was coming. But man, that trailer is nothing but like high octane, action packed return to what people expect out of Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think a big draw for Falcon and Winter Soldier for me is the chemistry between Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. And that was on full display in this trailer. The fact that these guys are just so good on screen together. Every time they interact, there's instant chemistry. But yeah, like you said, it's got huge action. It's got like the kind of dialogue we expect from the MCU. It definitely feels like when you're getting the MCU condensed into a TV series, this feels like a good example of what we were looking for from these Disney Plus shows.
You know, and I know that there has been some concern that after something like WandaVision, that all we're going to get is action-packed, that there isn't going to be enough personality, enough heart. Yeah. But like the more and more I think about it, I think that this is going to be a very deep sort of character piece about both of them. You know, you said that they have great chemistry, but the other thing that we have to keep in mind here is that up until this point in the MCU, they've both kind of served as like the right and left hand to Captain America, right? So going into this now, obviously Sam is going to be grappling with what it means to him to be Captain America, because he's certainly not Steve Rogers, and we saw that in the comic as well. You know, he was a different type of Captain America. But also with Bucky, what does that mean watching someone take up Cap's mantle? Which I do think that he trusts in Cap's judgment, but he probably also has an idea of what it means to be Captain America. And being Captain America's sidekick, what does that now mean? Like what's his new relationship to Sam, right? Does Sam expect him to be like that right hand? Are they still equal? Like there's so much that they're going to be able to explore within this. And that's just when it comes to the Bucky and Sam dynamic. Yeah. We're not even touching on any of the other stuff that's coming.
Yeah, I've seen interviews with Anthony Mackie specifically where he said this show it doesn't start out with him. You know, he got the shield in Endgame. It doesn't start out with him like, all right, well, I'm Captain America now. This show is the journey of who's going to be the next Captain America. And I don't think we're guaranteed that it's going to be Sam Wilson. I think we're going to see the emotional journey of Sam Wilson, like you said, discovering, is this something I'm ready for? I think we are going to see Bucky Barnes probably chafing a little bit and saying like, you know what, should this be my job? And then I know we have other characters like US Agent who are going to come in out of kind of left field to potentially vie for the mantle as well. So looking at it through that prism, the idea that this is the journey, this is not just a show about two superheroes having an adventure. This is a show about the legacy of Captain America, one of the biggest characters in the MCU. Obviously, arguably one of the top two, him and Iron Man. We want to know who is going to take up this mantle. And that journey, that discovery of who is going to wield the shield is definitely worthy of how big I think the show is going to be.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I wanted to touch on here as well, something that I've been for ever since it was announced, but having now seen it in the trailer, I am a little bit worried. And I know that Norris Howard, you know, a friend of ours over at Checkpoint XP on campus.
Good friend of the show.
And Checkpoint Daily, which you should obviously go and check those out as well. There's podcast forms of both those as well. Baron Zemo as the villain, we see him in the trailer. He has a very, you know, Heath Ledger Joker kind of vibe from The Dark Knight, where he's walking with the mask in his hand. But he says that, you know, all superheroes must die. My work is unfinished. And this is where I think I have a bit of concern. Because I thought at the end of Civil War, Zemo's story, you know, having taken out the program that he felt was responsible for, you know, the death of his family, and then obviously going off with T'Challa to face whatever justice he would face. Something has happened and now he's back again.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm willing to see what that is. What it is that has apparently made him feel like, okay, you know, my work isn't actually finished. But just coming back and being like, ah, you know what? Got to get them all. Like,
I don't think that's going to be the case. I trust the people behind this enough to know that they're not just going to. You're right. He had a very satisfying emotional conclusion in Civil War. I don't think they're just going to put Zemo back on the board with him just saying like, yeah, change my mind. I do think there's going to be a rationale. Something has happened, whether it's the demise of Steve Rogers as Captain America, whether it's something to do with, I mean, we can't rule out that, you know, the thing we can't rule out with any of these series, as we've seen with WandaVision, is that Thanos's actions changed a lot of lives. So we don't know. There might have been something that occurred in terms of Thanos's actions in Infinity War that affected Zemo. Or like I said, it could be Steve Rogers stepping down. There's a lot of opportunity. And if there's one thing we've learned with these MCU efforts, it's they will usually go the extra mile to provide a satisfying explanation for why someone is doing something. So I'm not as concerned as you about I think he's just going to be back for no reason.
Well, and obviously there always is going to be, the puppet master behind, behind it all, right? We haven't seen in WandaVision yet, and I certainly don't think that whatever the big bad or whatever the big, plot thing that's trying to be solved, I don't think that the trailer has given that to us yet. So,
no, of course not.
I do expect this is going to be great. We've also heard that the series has gotten its first rating, which is TV 16 plus, the equivalent of an R-rated movie on TV.
Crazy.
So Daredevil and Jessica Jones Season 2, Django Unchained, Season 3 of Game of Thrones. This is one of the highest or most mature ratings for a – honestly, no, I think this is the highest rating for a canon MCU film with Marvel and Disney.
I say, good. Let's see what we can do. Let's start pushing the boundary. Like, look, I would typically be against something like this just because I like MCU fare kind of being for everybody. And harkening back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show when we were joking, just being something the whole family can enjoy. But I also think there's such a diverse range of MCU content now between all the movies and all the Disney Plus stuff that it's okay if one piece is a little bit more adult. Right, I think it's okay to kind of experiment with this type of thing. I do think eventually we're going to get that. We've been told by Kevin Feige eventually we're going to get an R-rated Deadpool movie, and I don't hate the idea of these people telling the stories they want to tell. And if it's a story that requires a more mature rating, let's find a way to go there. So I don't think this is going to be gratuitous in any way, and I'm a fan of more adult MCU stuff existing alongside stuff like they're going to be like Groot shorts on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's a little bit of something for everybody, and I think that's the point of the MCU.
All right. Well, speaking of the diverse properties within the MCU and a little something for everybody, coming up next, we're going to talk about the expectations of the Disney Plus series after seeing WandaVision and staring down the pipe towards Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The esports world continues to grow, and that includes a massive emerging collegiate space. There's going to be one place where you can come and get the latest news for college esports, and that's Checkpoint On Campus, the voice of college esports. So whether it be the latest in college COD or more, make sure you check out Checkpoint On Campus on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. It's all about Marvel and Disney Plus here today. We've actually talked Marvel a few weeks in a row, haven't we?
We have. Yeah. We're gonna have to lean into some DC stuff coming up to balance the ledger.
Well, you know,
but we got plans.
Snyder did just put out another trailer.
No, that's not
that's
Robbie,
DC.
That's not the answer. That is not the answer I was looking for.
At least he didn't use Hallelujah in the trailer.
What did he use this time?
I've already forgotten what it was. But today, it is WandaVision, it is Falcon and Winter Soldier, and what I'd like to talk about now, Ben, is the expectation that WandaVision has set. Because while the later episodes are definitely, you know, feel a bit more like what we expect out of Marvel, this is still a very different show. We still have yet to get a superhero fight, right? It's all mystery. Yeah. It's all intrigue. It's all, you know, what is going on? And obviously people love it. But what's the precedent that this now sets for the Disney Plus series?
It's interesting because on the one hand, I think it's great that they led with this series because it was really strong and it's going to get people to tune into something like Falcon Winter Soldier who maybe would not have typically because they're like, oh, well, in the same way that I think the success of the early MCU movies brought a lot more people to the theater for the later ones, where you could have something like, I always use the example of something like Ant-Man would not have succeeded without the movies that came before it. And I think in that same regard, you're going to see a high bar has been set for these Disney Plus series, and people who maybe weren't necessarily going to check out Falcon and Winter Soldier are probably going to give it a shot just because they liked WandaVision. Now, the flip side to that is, has WandaVision brought in an audience who appreciate shows like, you know, Twin Peaks or Lost, things that are sci-fi but with a little bit more of a weird bend to it? And then are people going to be, I hate to say let down by Falcon and Winter Soldier, but if Falcon and Winter Soldier is, as we're expecting it to be, more of the typical Marvel fare, what's going to happen with the new audience who came in for WandaVision?
Are you kind of surmising that the same way that, like, you know, the people who like Oscar bait movies turn their nose down at all superhero genre, that some people that came in and watched WandaVision was like, you know what, this isn't all just about, like, you know, laser eyes and, like, you know, Thanos fighting, that now when they watch Captain America and the Winter Soldier, they're just going to be like, oh, see, this is what superhero stuff usually is. Like they think it's a little bit lowbrow.
I'm not thinking that harshly, although I'm sure there are some people who will take that tact. I'm more thinking of the people who are like, oh, WandaVision was this, like, almost huge mythology show. I'll say again, like, comparing it to Lost. Something about Lost was you would watch every week for the drama, the action, etc. But a big part of why you would watch Lost is because it had these crazy mysteries that you're waiting for them to be unraveled. Mm-hmm. And I think people might be expecting that from every Marvel show. And when it's Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's not that it's lowbrow. It's just that it's pretty straightforward. Like, these are two guys having an adventure. I'm not sure that there's going to be a lot of big reveals and stuff like that. And I could be wrong. There could be. But I think a lot of what has hooked people on WandaVision is they watch it and they keep watching because they want to know what the heck is going on. And I think with Falcon and Winter Soldier, it might be evident early on, like, all the cards are on the table. But do you keep watching just because it's a good show? Does that make sense?
Yes. I'm going to posit two things towards you, all right? The first is, I think you're right. I don't think that whatever Falcon and Winter Soldier has, I don't think it's going to be holding us on the edge of our seats to what the mystery means as much as WandaVision does. Because WandaVision is dealing with magic. It's potentially dealing with alternate realities. Like they can get to...
And just the conceit of, not to interrupt you, but just the conceit of the whole sitcom thing.
Yes.
Like, that's huge. We're not going to have anything like that.
To quote everyone's Infinity Saga hero, Star-Lord here, all right, with WandaVision, they can get pretty weird, right? But I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as we think, because
probably not.
I do think that Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, being that it is still in a sense a Captain America story, that there is still going to be, you know, the same way that the Russo brothers, who aren't doing the show, but, you know, I think that with Marvel, they want to keep it consistent with the same way that they told the other Captain America stories. And specifically in Captain America, you know, the Winter Soldier, there was a lot of twists and turns throughout that, which I think that we'll get in Falcon and the Winter Soldier as well. But more than that, more than just these big mysteries that keep us on the edge of our seats, you know, none of these characters have had the chance, these actors even, have had as much of a chance as they're getting now to really put on display the inner workings of these characters, you know? I'm going to reference our buddy Norris here again, but, you know, he was someone who couldn't care less about Wanda or Vision going into this, right? And now, I mean, you said it yourself, Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, like, they are absolutely killing it. And right. I think more than anything, I think that the character moments that these actors are giving, you know, to these names is what's really going to hook and keep people in the show. And as we mentioned in the last segment here, there is so much room for Bucky and Sam from, you know, both Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie to really grow these characters. I think those are the moments that are really going to hit home for people. And there's one scene specifically that tells me this from the trailers. It's the one where you see Sam throw the shield at the tree and then Bucky comes up and grabs it. I mean, it's like it's a split second for both of them. But within each of those actors' faces, you can see there's so much going on here.
Yeah. I just hope people will... I'm not worried about this. Look, it's going to be a huge success. These Marvel shows are pretty untouchable at this point. I think that people are going to tune in no matter what. I just hope that anyone who was really, really won over by WandaVision can appreciate Falcon and Winter Soldier in the same way, even if it is a very different kind of show.
Yes, and I think that will probably be what ends up happening as well, guys. But that's going to be it for The Other Identity this week. And before we get out of here, so that Callie doesn't yell at me twice in one episode, if your favorite local radio station isn't running the Checkpoint XP national radio show, which I'm part of, by the way, you can get it on demand wherever you get your podcasts. So check for Checkpoint XP on demand, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever it is. And we'll catch you guys next week. Same other identity time, same other identity channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.